Again, just bear with us this morning. Our choir director, Suzanne Yerkes, had to go to the hospital yesterday. She's having some chest pains. Luckily, it's pleurisy, not something cardiac related. So we're going to have a quiet mass, except for me, this morning. So anyway, our gospel passage records the beautiful verse of our Lord. No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. For most of us, we can't really relate too much to plowing. Some of us may have used one of those rotor tillers in our life, or, like myself, maybe some of you have dug up a garden, but we really haven't plowed. Even modern plowing sort of eludes us concerning this verse. When I was out in Indiana 3 weeks ago for our Deacon Thomas Hahn, now Father Hahn's ordination and first mass, I went to the family farm. His father showed me their plow. It looks like one of these transformers. This thing opens up, and you can plow 32 rows at once and plant seeds at the same time. So you can cover like 200 acres in a day. Incredible contraption. But that wasn't at the time of our Lord. At the time of our Lord in Galilee, which is still the breadbasket of Israel, a farmer had to get two oxen, put a plow yoke on them, and then attach the plow, and he had to hold that plow, set it firmly in the ground, walk behind those oxen, which was not easy, keep the straight line as best that he could, and then also at times encounter a rock, and that would upset things. So to plow was really to set one's sight ahead, not be looking all around, including back, but really be steadfast, have that stay the course attitude, and keep moving forward. Even when you hit the rock, you keep moving forward. Very practical spiritual advice for us. When we think of last week's gospel, Jesus asked, well, who do people say that I am? The right answer, Jesus, you're the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity, true God who became true man, the Word of God incarnate, who perfectly revealed God's truth and love to us. You are the Lord and the Savior who went to the cross to suffer, die, and rise for our salvation. Well, if that's the answer, which it has to be if we call ourselves Christians, then Jesus said, well, live it. Deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. Well, in a sense, our Lord's saying, put your hand to the plow and keep moving forward. Don't get distracted. And so it is. When we were baptized, we made that commitment that was reaffirmed when we were sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. Each time we come here to worship for Mass, receive Holy Communion, and when we regularly go to confession, we're saying yes to our Lord, that we're going to follow His path. Of course, we need grace that comes through the sacraments, through our daily prayer. We need to know our faith, to know what is the right course to plow ahead. We need to put it all into action, so strive to live our faith. But nevertheless, we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We stay the course. We keep moving ahead. Granted, it's not always easy. We hit rocks in our life. It could be our own personal failure. It could be something else that happens. And we might turn around and say, well, what if? What if I were like all these other people who seem to be having so much fun? What if I did this? Or what if I joined another church? And so on. No, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. And here is really what we call perseverance. You and I need to persevere. I remember when I was in my second year of seminary, old Monsignor Connolly, who was our church history professor, said to us, first day of class, gentlemen, pray for the gift of perseverance. I didn't quite appreciate it at the time, but now, having been a priest 29 years, I definitely do. But the idea is that we persevere. Yes, we'll hit the rocks. We may be tempted to look behind, but nevertheless, We shake that off and we move forward. Even in the gospel today, when we think of Jesus being rejected by the Samaritans, the apostles, one who called down fire, that doesn't distract our Lord. He keeps moving on. More importantly, though, Jesus says at the very beginning, or we read at the beginning, that he was resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. One has to wonder why. After all, the Jewish leaders are already plotting to kill our Lord. Jerusalem's the center of hostility. Why would he be resolutely determined? Also, the original Greek says he steadfastly set his face. The verb is sturzio. So it's even more courageous, more persevering. He resolutely set his face on going to Jerusalem because he wasn't going to get the little rocks take him off path. Instead, he was going to see his Father's will done. He could see a bigger picture. Remember last Sunday, Jesus said, I'm going to be handed over to the Jewish leaders. I'm going to die, suffer too, but I will rise again. But our Lord sees a greater good. Think, though, wouldn't people be tempted to say, oh, I'm out of here. Like, I don't want to keep going forward. Look behind. Jesus could have said, you know, why go through all that? Why not beam me back up to heaven, Heavenly Father? But no, Jesus goes forward because despite what seems to be the impediment, he sees a greater good. He sees that by going to that cross, through his suffering and death, he's going to free us from sin. He's going to offer the sacrifice for sin. He's going to show us also that even though we may suffer, our suffering united with him is redemptive. It brings tremendous graces. It brings healing. Even though he's going to die, that's not going to be the end. He will conquer death to give us the hope of everlasting life. So our Lord sees beyond this little rock that he faces. He sees the greater future. So he steadfastly set his face for Jerusalem to accomplish his Father's will. Well, back to perseverance then. You and I are called to persevere. And again, it's not easy. I know as a priest, I've had difficulties in life. I've had to face real challenges at times, like building this parish. Sure, the devil always steps in and says, well, remember back when? Turn back. Remember that nice, comfortable parish you left when you came here. Or maybe when things are rough, especially if you see sometimes the scandals in the church that occur here and there, always have, isn't the temptation, you know, you could have been an accountant. You could have been a lawyer. You could have had a wife and kids. But we have to say, a priest has to say, get behind me, Satan. That's past. And keep moving forward. Stay the course. Plow ahead. Even though you hit that rock, that time of challenge, maybe even a failure, you keep moving ahead. Keep the eyes fixed on Christ. I remember Bishop Keating, our previous bishop, the bishop who ordained me, he would oftentimes say to us young priests, he said that as a chancellor in Chicago, before he came here, and then as a bishop, every time a priest would come in and say, I want to leave the priesthood, he always asked them, when did you stop praying? And the idea is, when did you take your eyes off of Christ? The same applies to married couples, too. Marriage isn't easy. My parents were married 43 years before my dad died. I know it wasn't easy. There were times of medical problems, financial problems, work relationship kinds of problems, problems within the family. My older brother wasn't as perfect as I am. So, but anyway, only kidding. But, you know, but they worked through it. They believed in their vows. When they said on that wedding day, I love you in good times, bad, sickness and health, till death do us part. They meant it. Keep in mind, those vows are realistic. I think sometimes couples would like to just think of the good times. God willing, there will be. But there's going to be the tough times, too. Times of sacrifice, times of struggle, times of mistakes. There's going to be times of health. There will be times of sickness. Every couple will go through that. But isn't that really the faithful, self-sacrificing love given in service that St. Paul speaks of? So easily, a couple could easily turn around and say, well, what if I had married somebody else? What if I hadn't married this person? What if I had the fun life I used to? No, get behind me, Satan. I have to plow ahead, get through this, see a bigger picture to it all. It's very disturbing when in our country today we hear of statistics of a 50% even greater divorce rate within 5 years of marriage. Now, granted, there are some serious reasons why couples divorce, but 50, 60%? One has to wonder what happened. Here, church wedding, most likely, I love you in good times, bad, sickness, and health, and after 5 years, goodbye? Please, what happened? Maybe it was just a focus on the good times, the health, and then the distraction. Oh, what if I'd married someone else? What if I pursued this in my life? Remember back when I did this. Oh, very tempting. Flee. Run away. The same statistics, though, show that if couples go to church every Sunday together, meaning also as a family, it drops to 10%. And if couples, as a family, pray each day together, it drops to 5%. And if they don't contracept, it drops to less than 1%. And what's the difference? The presence of God. They're keeping their eyes fixed on Christ. Yes, there will be the good times. There will be the tough times, times of real sacrifice. There will be the healthy times. There will be the times of sickness. Something even like helping someone die from terminal cancer, but helping that person prepare for everlasting life. But there has to be a love that comes from fixing one's eyes on Christ, plowing ahead, not letting the distractions come when you hit that rock of life. I think of St. Camillus de Lillis, wonderful saint. But he lived about the year 1600, one of the great reformers, good reformers of the church. He had been a mercenary, had a problem with gambling even, but had a real conversion. He founded a little group of brothers who would go out and take care of the poor, the sick, and the streets of Rome. But he was at one point just discouraged. All kinds of setbacks. There was hostility from some people in the church even. There were financial creditors after him for money that he had borrowed. But totally discouraged. And he was praying at the altar rail. Above the tabernacle, they had a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he was just praying, just pouring out his heart, wondering, how can I go on? And that picture came alive. Jesus held out his Sacred Heart, and Jesus said, do not be discouraged, my faint-hearted son. Continue the work that you have begun. You will succeed because it is my work. Always remember that. So my brothers and sisters, we have to persevere. We've been given vocations. We've been given the means of grace to live those vocations, whether as just a single individual Christian, as a priest, maybe religious brother or sister, a spouse, or as a parent. But God will help us if we keep our eyes on Christ, our hands firmly set on the plow, and we persevere, staying the course. I truly believe that if it is God's good work and God's will, He will always see us through and bring us to completion. May God bless you.